Our next guest on the program is a contributing editor to Vice Sports and has written a phenomenal column this week that has certainly got some people talking around the country. It's entitled Friday Night Lights Out, The Case for Abolishing High School Football. Patrick Ruby joins us right now on the G&M Family Market phone line. Patrick, thanks for checking in with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a very interesting story, and we'll say right up front, abolishing high school football, not something you went into this advocating. Can you talk about the story and the man behind this push?
Yeah, so, I mean, the story itself, it revolves around a guy named Russell Davis. He lives out in Las Vegas, and he ran for school board in Clark County, Nevada, the fifth biggest school district in the country. And he ran explicitly on a platform. I mean, he had some other things, too. But his main point was, I want to abolish public high school football. Obviously, this being America, that's going to sound pretty crazy to most people. High school football is obviously a really beloved pastime. It's the most popular high school sport by far. The most kids play it, as we all know, not just from the movies and from TV shows like Friday Night Lights, but just in general, it's a huge part of community. It's a huge part of something that's just woven into the fabric of what people think when they think of high school, when they think of America, frankly. So, it's a little bit controversial, you know, but as I spent time with him, and being a reporter who has sort of reported on the issue of brain trauma in football for years now, what he was saying started to make a lot of sense. Even if you don't agree with it, it makes a lot of sense. There really is a case to be made for taking football out of high schools.
And Mr. Davis was never suggesting that football be outlawed, but just questioning whether that's something we should be spending our high school money on, and he even went so far as to also suggest that there be some limitations on other sports, like not allowing heading in soccer prior to a certain age.
Right, that's a really key point here. You know, Russell Davis is a huge football fan. He's a big fan of the Raiders, actually. He's hopeful that the Raiders are going to move from Oakland to Vegas. And, you know, he grew up playing some touch football, tackle football in the park with his friends, you know. He's not opposed to sport at all. He also grew up playing soccer. He's got two teenage kids, a boy and a girl, that play soccer. He coaches soccer. He actually got into this whole idea of brain damage in sports through soccer. You know, they're starting to discover in soccer with headers, whether it's players colliding, head to shoulder, head to elbow, head to head in midair, or the repetitive hits to the head of heading balls in practice and games, that, you know, we have a problem with brain trauma and brain trauma risk there. Obviously, football has a much bigger problem. There's much more head contact in football. And again, not just concussions, but the hits that happen on every play, those little hits. You know, it's been measured by scientists between 800, 1,500 hits to the head every season for a high school player. So when he got into this through soccer, he realized, you know what? Football players are even more risk. And I'd be selfish if I was just looking out for my own kids playing soccer, and it makes sense to try to take care of all kids. So that's kind of where he came from, and that is an important distinction to make. He isn't saying we shouldn't have kids playing football at all. You know, he's like, people should be free to choose that. He is saying it might not be appropriate to do it through schools in an educational setting.
And we hear, of course, about NFL players and former players, but the fact of the matter is the effects aren't something that only happens when people are in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. We see effects, and we've seen examples of younger kids. And we also know, too, and you talk about it in your piece, that the effects of concussions can have impacts on academic performance right here in the here and now.
Right. There's a whole spectrum here. You know, like I said, we're talking not just about concussions, but also about just repetitive brain trauma. So hits, little hits, adding up over time. And the more that medical scientists have looked at this, the more they've discovered both of those things really seem to matter. Now, it's a spectrum of risk, right? So at one end, you've got like neurodegenerative diseases, like CTE. Now, we associate that with the film Concussion and with former NFL players and Junior Seau, and we're starting to see it in college players too. They've actually found CTE in six deceased high school football players, guys that never played beyond the high school level. That's pretty scary. Obviously, that's a small absolute number, but they've only looked at 26 high school player brains. So that's definitely kind of scary. Beyond that, there's other research indicating that, you know, a single season of high school football can produce brain changes that they can see on brain scans, and it can produce changes in terms of how you perform on cognitive tests. So they know that damage is happening. Is that permanent damage? They're not sure yet. We haven't studied it long enough to really know. There's some indication that it may heal in the off season. But like you said, there's another part of this, which if you get an actual concussion, it's pretty well known that that can dramatically affect your academic performance. I mean, if you're getting all sorts of migraines and you can't concentrate and suddenly you can't study, yeah, you're going to do a lot worse in the classroom. And that's something, again, that is well known but not talked about a lot until recently. And I think those are all kind of reasons that people like Russell Davis are saying, look, our schools have a mission. They're supposed to nurture and protect young people's brains. Why would we have them sponsor an activity that carries a pretty significant risk of doing the opposite?
We're talking with Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports. Now, I'm a high school teacher in my day job, and I know we have, and I think it may be a state regulation in Maine, that we have a concussion protocol for our student-athletes. But when something happens, as teachers, you know, we sort of immediately back off on the level of work because we know that cognitively they're not able to handle that. And boy, to me, that sends up a red flag, regardless of what sport leads them to that situation.
Right. No, I think that's important. No, again, it sort of comes down to what is the mission of a school. And the other part that was pretty interesting, and Russell Davis purposely did not campaign on this, but some other people that have talked about raising the question, should we really have this sport in our high schools, in our schools, have noted that high school football is far and away the most expensive high school sport. You know, there's not a lot of national numbers on what's spent, but in various cities, some newspapers have looked at this. You know, in Dallas, for instance, the Dallas area, there are some schools that were spending close to $500,000 a year on football. There's high school football stadium outside of Dallas that cost $60 million. In Alabama, you've got head coaches making six-figure salaries in high school football. It definitely can get very, very expensive. And while in some places the sport does, you know, turn a little bit of a profit and helps pay for other sports at schools, most of the time, it does not. It does not break even. This is definitely an outlay of taxpayer expense. Now, given that we live in an era of stagnant or declining school budgets for the most part, and we live in an era of, you know, limited resources, and we're all looking at the, in the education system for what's the return on investment of this activity, right? It makes sense to at least look at football through that perspective. You know, are we getting our most bang for the buck? Are we doing all we can for our students by sponsoring this sport? And remember now, football really only serves half your student population because girls don't really play. On the other hand, it does provide a lot of entertainment to communities. It provides a lot of school spirit to schools. It provides something that, like, I think the whole towns can sort of rally around, even kind of set their fall life around. And that has value. Whether or not that's an appropriate mission for schools is something you can debate, but there is something to be said for the sport is producing value beyond just for the kids who are playing it.
Concerns about football are nothing new, as you point out in your column. And back over 100 years ago, Teddy Roosevelt stepped in, and many said save the sport of football when people were dying in college games, and in some ways led to the formation of what now is the NCAA. But what's different about this level of concern 100 years later?
You know, I think what makes it totally different is it's the brain damage part. It's the idea that even if you're wearing one of these hard plastic helmets, we now know that protects you from skull fractures. That was the concern back in Teddy Roosevelt's day. You're literally going to crack your head open and die on the field or die a few later. And look, that's a horrible thing. We don't want that. Thank goodness we have these helmets that do a very good job of protecting against skull fractures. You know, we still have deaths in high school football, and that's terrible. We don't have as many as we once did. That said, those helmets don't protect from concussions, and they don't protect from this, again, cumulative, compounding, subconcussive trauma, the hit after hit after hit. Because your brain essentially floats inside your skull, kind of like an egg yolk inside an egg. The brain is sort of a spongy, gelatinous mass. And when you're getting hit, it's absorbing that force. It's absorbing that impact. And that is causing subtle damage that seems to build over time. And look, the last part of that, the brain is who you are. It's the most important organ. And at the high school level, we also know about the brain now. It's not fully formed until your mid-20s. So it may be the case, and scientists start to suspect this, teenagers are more vulnerable to these concussions and repetitive head hits and it may actually be affecting who they develop into as adults.
Wow, that right there just takes your breath away. So I know I've seen some of the social media reaction, and I'm sure you've gotten a lot more personally. As you look at the reaction of people, does it differ along either age lines or perhaps regional lines?
I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, I would say that some of the reaction is kind of predictable, like, I'll use a euphemism here, you're a wuss. This is the wussification of America. And look, I actually understand that because as long as schools have had football, I looked into the history of this. It's really fascinating. One of the reasons football has been put into schools and kept in schools is sort of and promoted is sort of at various points in American history, there have been sort of panics over masculinity. You know, back in Teddy Roosevelt's day, right? What was happening? We were moving from an agrarian farmer society to a society of people working in factories and in cities. And people were worrying, you know, our boys are getting soft. They're not rough and tumble like they used to be. In the 1950s, we were in the Cold War. People were suggesting, you know, if we don't have kids cheering for high school football, let alone playing high school football, we don't have our boys in the stands cheering, they're going to end up cheering in communist party cells. I'm not kidding. People were really writing that. It sounds silly now, but football has always been offered as this sort of tonic, this sort of anecdote to the softening of the young American male. And I think for a lot of people, it still has that resonance. You know, it builds men, it builds character, it builds toughness. And so when you say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, people respond in sort of macho ways. On the other side of it, there are also a lot of people that, you know, love their kids, care about their kids. They care about their kids' brains and development. And when you sort of present the information to them in a non-threatening way, when instead of just saying, like, you know what, football's evil, you're a terrible parent for putting your kid into it, you say, look, here's a lot of facts that you don't know about what this can do to the brain and that we're starting to discover. I think most people have an open mind and think about, at the very least, maybe I won't have my kid play. And I think we are seeing that now.
So what's the next step? We've got the conversation going. Where do people with real concerns go from here?
Well, I think, you know, we're a long way from high school football getting banned or abolished in America. I think Russell Davis is probably 10 years ahead of his time, at least. But what I do think is we are going to see more and more science come out. And so far, all the science, small studies, but they all point in the same direction. You know, this sport is definitely has a risk of brain damage, and every time we look, it seems like the risk is getting larger and larger. And schools are going to have to grapple this ethical issue. I think, you know, there are some things that can be done to make the sport safer that are actually pretty simple. The number one thing you can do is play less of it. So instead of having high school seasons that sometimes now last, like in California and Texas, up to 16 games if you get into the playoffs, scale it back to what it used to be. Scale it back to 6 or 8 games. Have more time for rest and recovery for these kids, not only physically, but the physical part of their brain, too. And don't play as long. Another thing would be follow the NFL's lead. Follow the lead of the Ivy League in football and reduce or hopefully eventually eliminate tackling in practice. A lot of the exposure to these hits to the head is not coming once a week in games. It's coming every day when kids are strapping it on and hitting each other. So get rid of that. You can get rid of a lot of exposure there. If you do those things, you're probably making the sport safer. Now, will it be safe enough? It's really hard to know, but we'll have a better idea. And does that make it still morally acceptable and financially smart to keep it in school? I'm not sure. That all being said, if you were to take this out of schools, I don't think football would die or go away. As you see in other sports right now, particularly basketball, but baseball too, tennis, pretty much every youth sport, the really elite athletes, they're not necessarily getting their best experience and exposure in high school anyway. They're playing on club teams, travel teams, private teams. If we took football out of schools, I'm sure we would see a bunch of AAU football teams. I'm sure we'd see all sorts of private clubs. I don't think it's really going anywhere, but it would be less like this all-American tradition and probably more like boxing. And if you went into high school right now and said, hey, I'd like to start a boxing team, people would laugh you out of the building. If we keep learning bad things about football and the brain, we might get there with football as well.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation and a really thought-provoking article in Vice Sports. Fantastic read. Check it out from Patrick Ruby, and we'll keep that conversation going. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.